Primetime Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Ben Ennis. We're down at Rogers Center. We're watching Aaron Judge take BP. And I can report to you that Aaron Judge has hit more than a few home runs during his first couple of rounds of batting practice when he's decided to hit home runs. He's hit a couple into the flight deck. I guess you don't need a ticket for the flight deck to be in the flight deck. It appears full, though. People are starting to trickle in right now, but the flight deck, I think, is packed to the gills because, yeah, that's like standing room only. And, yeah, people are lined up in the first row of the outfield seats to try and grab even a souvenir batting practice home run ball off Aaron Judge. That'd be kind of neat, especially if he ends up hitting number 61 or maybe 62 as well today. We talked about that and what a pitcher might be feeling if they were involved in history with our next guest, Ross Stripling. I had a chance to catch up with the righty on the field before today's game. Very happy to be joined now by Blue Jays starter Ross Stripling. And Ross, you guys take the final two games of that Rays series. 9 games to go during the regular season, top American League wild card spot. How close do you think this team is to playing its best baseball?
Great question. You know, I do feel like we're clicking here at the right time. That was kind of been the narrative of this whole season, is this team is so talented, but we're so streaky, right? It's like we'd be going on a tear, and then all of a sudden we'd go like 2-8 in our next 10. You're like, man, when is this team really going to click on all cylinders? And I feel like we got to September, and that kind of finally happened, right? It all clicked, and yeah, it all kind of stems from Bo Bichette just getting really, really hot, right, and just kind of carrying this offense as you know he can when he does get hot. And then, just feel like pitching, defense, everything kind of fell into place come September, and we got off to a really good start and have kind of carried that momentum here into the last homestand of the year, which is crazy to say.
It is wild. Late September here, last homestand of the season, like you said. I imagine the atmosphere today is going to be a little different than the last 4 games you guys spent in Tampa. Can you speak to that? I mean, I think it's going to be close to a full house, if not a full house, that you've got a little more than a week to go until the postseason. How different a mentality is it to play in front of, 20,000 over the weekend as opposed to 40-plus here tonight?
Right. Well, you feed off the crowd, you know, for sure. And the Trop is not known for the crowd, and the Rays are really good there. So we're able to split a series and come back here. And like you said, playing likely in front of a full house tonight of Blue Jay fans. Now, they're here to watch us play for sure, but they're also, you know, getting a chance to maybe catch some history with what Aaron Judge is doing over there for the Yankees. So a lot of, you know, just baseball to be rooted for in general from these fans, but you know they're here to support us. We have a whole country behind us, which is always just an awesome thing to say. And you know, really a few wins away from being able to clinch a playoff spot, and a handful of wins away from being able to play playoff games here in the Rogers Center, where we've all seen no one was a part of those teams. You know, the last time it was here, that was Bautista's bat flip and a walk-off against the Orioles when we saw the Rogers Center just absolutely going nuts. And you know, we want to be a part of an atmosphere like that. Tonight will be fun, no doubt, but you know, we want to play some games here in October.
You mentioned it's twofold tonight. I got my kids coming tonight. They're 6 and 4, and we're sitting in the second deck in left field. You're not going to pitch in this series, and obviously, like, it's about winning baseball games here, right? Nothing's totally sewn up for you or the Yankees. Right. But how would you feel about being that guy that was part of history? Because it's possible somebody is.
Yeah, it's very possible, right? I mean, all the man has done all year is basically hit triple crown stats this whole season. And you know, I don't necessarily know the stats, but I feel like we've held them relatively in check all year. I can remember 2 home runs, so that's kind of a win when you think that he's hit 60. It's interesting to think as a pitcher, I can only speak for myself. One of my best friends in baseball, Michael Wacha for the Red Sox, just pitched against him a couple days ago, and I watched, basically didn't throw him a strike. And it's kind of hard to say that I wouldn't do the same. It's not because I don't want to be a part of history. It's just kind of because he's the biggest piece of that offense, and you don't want to give up runs. And if you can keep him in check, you can kind of pitch to the other guys. And that's kind of what you're thinking. And then, you know, in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, if he does hit it, I'm going to be all over social media. I'm going to be all over, you know, the highlights for years to come. So that's part of it for sure. But really, I think when the lights are on, you're between the lines, you're thinking, you know, how do I get through this lineup? And the way to get through the Yankees the best is typically to not give Aaron Judge much to hit.
Yeah, to say the least. Is this one of those stories? I mean, it's gone beyond this sport. Like, it's a sports story that goes beyond baseball now, and it's probably gone beyond even sports. There's a lot of news people here. When you guys are back in the clubhouse, when you're not playing the game. Is this something you guys have been paying attention to all season long?
Of course. For one, it's impossible to miss just being in the sport, but then also being in the AL East and how much we face the Yankees. And, you know, they're essentially one of our rivals and the team that we've been chasing all year. So we're obviously very aware of what he's doing. And while we want to get him out, we don't want to be the ones to give up the record breakers. We also very much respect what he is doing and appreciate what it's done for our game and how amazing of a story it is for the game of baseball. And just, you know, really one of the best seasons a hitter has ever put together in the history of our sport. So we can definitely, you know, talk about it in the clubhouse and admire him from afar. But when, you know, we're out here trying to play against him and his team, you know, it's war for sure. But when it's not, we're all back there saying, like, man, what a season this guy's putting together.
Mathematically, it's going to be very difficult for you guys to catch the Yankees, obviously, right? I think magic number is 2 for the Yankees. So a win in any of these 3 games would mean that they clinch and they have a champagne celebration in that clubhouse. Is that something you guys have talked about, trying to make sure that doesn't happen here?
Well, sure. You know, I actually didn't know it was that until about 15 minutes ago, didn't know that it was that, you know, if they win a game, they clinch the division. You know, so obviously you want to keep them from doing that in your home park. You know, we just want to play good baseball and, you know, compete against them at the highest level the best we can and try and keep them from celebrating here in the Rogers Center. You know, so we'll see how the next 3 games pan out. It's you know, they've been who we've chased all year. I already said that. So, you know, it's always good to look forward as opposed to, like, thinking about the Rays or the Orioles who are coming after us. It's always good to be the hungrier team, right? The team that's on a mission, the team that's chasing. So we've always been looking ahead at the Yankees rather than who's behind us. But, you know, for these 3 games, it's going to be basically all hands on deck to try and get these wins. And you know, yeah, the division is likely out of hand in a way. I don't want to necessarily say that, but realistically. But, you know, these are the 3 games we can control. So we'll take care of those and then see what happens the rest.
Well, but you guys still have a chance to surpass last year's win total of 91, right? And there were some pretty significant losses last offseason. It's not over yet. We got 9 games to go, and perhaps that'll decide the narrative of this season. But overall, how do you compare this year to last year? Has this been a step forward? Can you compare the 2 seasons?
Well, man, last year we played over half our home games away from the Rogers Center, right, between Florida and Buffalo. So it's just a crazy season as a guy that's married with a young kid. That was just an absolute roller coaster, moving him 3 times. And finally getting here, I got to pitch the first game here, which I think will be one of my favorite memories of my baseball career. It's just incredible. Got the win, you know, the first game in 2 years in the Rogers Center. So how special that was. But like you said, we lost Robbie Ray, we lost Marcus Semien, Steven Matz. We had a lot of really big pieces we needed to replace and have guys step up and made some great signings in the offseason and have had a lot of guys take big step forward. And, you know, it's the AL East, man. Think about the Orioles. We're probably projected for 100 losses, and here they are 8 or 9 games above 500 right on our coattails. So you never know what can happen in baseball, specifically the AL East, the hardest division in baseball. So I think this team took a good step forward. We lost in heartbreaking fashion last year when we basically won, get in the locker room, Rafael Devers hits a homer, and our season's over like that. And, you know, so we can rely on that experience and how that felt and know that every game matters, because that's what it came down to, 1 game. So, you know, kind of playing with our hair on fire here in September, trying to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Well, you guys are pretty close to clinching as well. I think there's a scenario where you guys can clinch during this 3 game series. Well, definitely on the homestand. Is that something you guys are paying attention to? Are you looking at the out-of-town scoreboard again? It's hard to ignore them when they're on the outfield boards here at the ballpark, but are you guys aware of where you sit and how close you are to officially punching your ticket?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it is scoreboard watching season for sure, especially as a starting pitcher that basically contributes nothing besides cheerleading to the game tonight and for the next couple days. You know, I'm scoreboard watching hard and seeing what those other games are doing for sure, which is fun. And we're definitely all aware of, you know, where we are in the standings and where other teams are. So we know the different situations. I think there's even one where we can potentially clinch on Thursday when we don't have a game. So we're thinking, if we get there, what do we do? Do we come here and watch a game prepared to maybe celebrate? Do you celebrate the next day? All those kind of things that we just kind of, you know, mumble about in the locker room. But, you know, we're definitely focused on tonight's game, get through that one and take it one at a time, that old cliche. But that's kind of what you have to do this time of year while you're also hyper aware of what everyone else is doing as well.
Well, and it is so close. Like I said, like we're a week and a half away, essentially, from the postseason starting. And you mentioned how close this team might be to playing its absolute best baseball. But how important is it to, you know, kind of have a playoff mentality through these games, especially against teams that you're chasing like the Yankees, because the postseason's so close?
That's exactly how you got to treat these games, man, like playoffs. I mean, we just played a 4-game set in the Trop, a team that we're you know, pretty likely to face maybe in the wild card round, and then the Yankees, who we'd obviously like to face in the next round, and then the Orioles for the last series of the year, a team that's, you know, got everything on the line trying to catch us. So you got to go out and play these games like they are playoff games, like they matter to the utmost, and everything is heightened. And you know, that's this time of year. The weather's changed. It's cold. It starts to feel like playoff baseball, and that's what these. That's why you play your division a lot down the stretch, is because you kind of start ramping it up. Like, oh my gosh, these games are so important. Okay, getting ready for October, and here we are. So it's great experience for some of our younger players that have maybe never done that or done that once or twice in their careers. You know, to start getting the feel of how important these baseball games are. So when the real thing comes in October, hopefully for us, that we're, you know, that much more ready for it.
Can attest that outside, yeah, it feels like playoff baseball. I don't know if you're going to get a sense of playoff baseball here, if they're going to open the roof. I'm thinking not. Would you prefer if they open the roof, if it's like a marginal weather day like it is today? It's kind of coolish, but like it does feel like playoff baseball outside. Would you prefer the roof open? I guess as a pitcher, you probably would, right?
So you got to avoid rain at all costs. That's the thing. If it's going to rain, you got to have the roof closed. I get that. There's no reason if you have a roof to make us play through the rain. But if it's cold, open that sucker up. You know, we're up here in Toronto. It's supposed to be cold. It's getting into late September, early October. So that's playoff baseball. And you're right. As a pitcher, I think I have the advantage in the cold over the hitters, maybe a few more fastballs inside when it's really cold. So yeah, you know, we're hoping the roof's open. If it's not raining, open that thing up.
Ross, thanks for this. Hopefully during this homestand, you guys get to pop some bottles. Thanks for this.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks, man.
There is Ross Stripling, the winning pitcher yesterday. He went 5 against the Tampa Bay Rays, so he just gets to sit back and relax. Well, it's not quite that. I mean, during the game he does, but he'll get his work in, not slated to pitch during this 3-game series against the New York Yankees. Got an off day Thursday, and then it's the Red Sox in for 3, and then wrap up the regular season in Baltimore for 3 games. And the Blue Jays will, I can guarantee it, have a champagne celebration when they clinch a postseason spot, which will not happen today, might happen as early as tomorrow. What might also happen today, though, aside from Aaron Judge making history and tying Roger Maris with his 61st home run, maybe even hitting his 62nd, is if the Yankees win, they are going to pop bottles. There is plastic, I'm sure, in and around the visitors clubhouse here at Rogers Center, and then there is definitely champagne on ice if the Yankees win this baseball game. Marley Rivera is a Yankees reporter for ESPN. She's been covering the Yankees for years. She's been following this Aaron Judge traveling circus, and got a chance to talk to her. Finally met her in person down on the field before this one. All right, very happy to be joined in person by the great Marley Rivera of ESPN. Marley, it's great to see you in person. We've talked over the radio a number of times. It's great to see you.
I'm so excited. I'm even more excited because I heard a certain 4-year-old and 6-year-old are coming tonight.
Do you think that's a good idea? Yeah, so my kids were sitting in the second deck in left field. We bought them before the rush for tickets. They're much more expensive now than when I purchased them. The 4-year-old, I don't know if he's going to hang on till like the 9th inning if this is a normal Yankees game. But yeah, what do you think about that decision to bring the kids?
I think that, I mean, of course, I know that you're here for a Blue Jays win, and it's really what you want. But I do think that if you have an opportunity to witness history, even if you're as young as 4 and 6, there's got to be an appreciation for it. And they're starting to enjoy baseball. Why not have them enjoy a great moment? And I do think that it's never happened, right? Well, it's happened 61 years ago, not in our generation. So who knows when it's going to happen again? Of course, what a fun time.
Yeah, I think so. And even if there's a few tears mixed in, it's all worth it.
Also, it can be a one-run shot. That doesn't mean that it guarantees a Yankees win. Can we focus on that? We're just talking about,
that's,
you know,
right,
61 or 62. We're not talking about a Yankees win.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's a great, great point. I could have the best of both worlds for my Blue Jays fan kids. So you come here with the Traveling Road Show. It is, listen, there's a lot of Toronto media that cover the Blue Jays, especially this time of year, but it's nothing like the media contingent that follows the Yankees, and especially not right now. What's it been like to cover this team recently?
We've been calling it the circus in town, right? And it really has been. It's always difficult to cover the Yankees period at Yankee Stadium because, as you know, in modern stadiums, players have a lot of places to hide. So very frequently, the clubhouses are full of media and the presence of players. The witnesses, they're conspicuous by their absence. And so that has always been like that. So now with, you know, double, triple the amount of media, so you can have at times, and I'm not kidding because I counted them yesterday, 42 media members and 3 members of the New York Yankees in the clubhouse. So the access is very difficult, talking about new things. But I do think that the toughest part is coming up with a new story every day, right? Because you don't have the access and everyone has the same access. But at the same time, come on. Who doesn't want to win this history? So the more the merrier. And finally, people discover baseball. And that's really what I'm happy about.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully people outside of New York, because there's already a ton of baseball fans there. But yeah, yeah, maybe a couple of baseball fans are being birthed here the last couple of weeks. You know what? It must also be easier because the team's playing a lot better, because this race has been going on for 61 for a while, but the Yankees throughout August were abysmal. But this is a different Yankees team than the last time the Blue Jays saw them.
And what's interesting is exactly, I actually was speaking to Nestor Cortes Jr. about this yesterday. As you know, he pitched very well in that shortened win when they swept that 4-game series with the Red Sox with that huge rain that we had in New York last night. And Nestor said, we always believed in ourselves. I don't know, you know, how we got out of the slump. And basically, the Yankees did get healthier. The Yankees were one of those few teams, and we saw what they did in the beginning of the season at a clip of 700, right? One of the best records in the modern era. Like, the comparisons with the 1998 record-setting World Series champ New York Yankees. And all that happened in the first half. The home run derby comes, the All-Star game comes, the second half starts, and the month of August, the Yankees implode. And we basically saw that they won at one point. It was like they lost 18 out of 22 or something like that. It really was. And at that point, when there's, you know, the regular 5 of us following the Yankees around and them going, what else do you ask? With a team that wasn't scoring, that was at that point a record of like less than 400. I mean, it really was just amazing. And the way their turnaround was being healthy, right? And they started hitting, and most of it really, really had to do with health. And Anthony Rizzo got hurt at the same time as DJ LeMahieu got hurt at the same time. And that really shows you how key those two players are and how much protection they can give Aaron Judge. And of course, I mean, at the time, Aaron Hicks struggling so badly, Gleyber Torres struggling so badly. So, I mean, that leaves you nothing. And it really was just very, very tough for the New York Yankees to get their bats going and basically counted only on Aaron Judge.
Well, it just, I mean, it goes to show you how long a season of Major League Baseball season is, because I can remember watching the Yankees over that span and Aaron Boone slamming desks and thinking that this team that was on pace to win 120 games, like, are they going to miss the playoffs entirely? But how close to what we thought they were when they were at their best is this Yankees team now? Because they were on pace at one point to smash that Seattle Mariners regular season mark.
I don't think that they are there, especially because of all the injuries that happened in the bullpen. Like, we do have to remind people that they lost not only Chad Green and Zach Britton, but also Michael King. Those were 3 really key pieces of the bullpen. Our oldest Chapman hasn't been the same. So when you don't have a bullpen that is as solid, and Clay Holmes, of course, they've started to hit him because people figure things out. And this is a very, very smart league, and the AL is one tough place to play. So obviously Clay Holmes with that beautiful sinker, things are working, but not all the time. And Loaisa got the same way. So I do think in the first half, they were kind of working in all cylinders, right? The hitting was going, the bullpen was great, and the starters were too. At this point, the starters are solid. We know the problems that they're having with the long ball and so on and some inconsistency, but the starters are really, really good, but the bullpen is really struggling. So I wouldn't say the hitting is there, you know, that we're seeing it back. Without DJ LeMahieu, maybe this lineup is not as good as it could be, so I would put that caveat too.
Well, I mean, during August, there was conversation about, I mean, why would anybody throw Aaron Judge anything to hit, right? I mean, it was him. He was a one-man band.
Yeah.
And for that reason, they were losing a ton of games. How different is the lineup? Because you mentioned without DJ LeMahieu, it's not quite as long. But does this team punish other teams now for pitching around Aaron Judge? Because you got to figure he's going to take his fair share of walks this series.
No, perfect. And you know what? I'm going to quote Alex Cora, which I think, you know, has a lot more standing than I have on this. And Alex Cora said, the one time we intentionally walked Aaron Judge, they score 4 runs on us, because that's exactly what they can do. When Giancarlo is on time, and Giancarlo has taken a long time to get back, we know it, after we saw him win the MVP in the All-Star game, he basically didn't hit for a month and a half because he was hurt. I mean, he came back. He was around for 2 weeks, and he said it himself. I was a hole in the lineup. But when they started doing that experiment of them going 1-2 and protecting him, and then you put Rizzo, a quote-unquote healthy Rizzo, with his back being a lot better, now you're talking, and then Gleyber Torres heat up, right? So then that's really the top of the lineup that even if Josh Donaldson is struggling at times, it almost doesn't matter, right? Because you are going to have to pitch to Aaron Judge, and all of a sudden you have these young kids like, you know, Oswald Peraza and Osvaldo Cabrera also kind of getting on base towards the bottom of the lineup, so then you turn it around very quickly. So it really is a very, very dangerous lineup, top to bottom.
Well, I'm sure if Aaron Judge had hit...
So are the Blue Jays, by the way.
Yeah, and they're playing some pretty good baseball now as well, winners of two straight after splitting that series in Tampa. But I'm sure if Aaron Judge had hit number 61 and certainly number 62 at Yankee Stadium, there would have been a huge ceremony on the field. It would have stopped the game. I don't know what they would do in a visiting ballpark. Do you have any idea? What if he hits two today? Do you have any idea what's going to happen?
We really don't know. And I would think, obviously, that the moment on the field at Yankee Stadium would have been a lot bigger, right? We're not saying that there's not great baseball fans in Toronto, but they're not here to root for the Yankees. That's the truth, right? And it also is a very short turnaround, and maybe a lot of fans didn't expect to need to come to this series. I think that with the pitching that we have seen, with all due respect, I'm always very careful because they're all major league teams. But when we think about the Yankees had six games against the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Boston Red Sox, you really thought that maybe Aaron Judge could get a couple of home runs in there, and he only got one. So I think that the one thing we will not see at all, and it's going to be interesting to watch, is every time Aaron Judge came at bat, it was eerie silence. I've never seen this. In 47,000 Astros, that is not true. Completely lying. Just saw it with Albert Pujols. It was the same thing. And everyone getting up on their phones and so on. There is going to be a portion of that here, but not really. I mean, isn't it the opposite? Don't you want to be loud? Don't you want to be against them? I don't really know. So I'm actually really interested to see what the Canadian fan reaction is going to be. I have no clue.
Yeah, I have no idea either. I've never attended a game like this where history's on the line that
well,
I could
say. None of us have, truly, yeah. Right? Yeah. So,
yeah, and maybe if you were following, McGuire or Sosa or Bonds in the National League, you know, 20 years ago. But, yeah, since then, nobody's experienced this. Aaron Judge is an interesting fella to watch through the media because he's super careful is the way I would describe him. And you just talked about how difficult the media access is around the New York Yankees. How has he navigated what is a tremendous amount of attention headed into a free agency year?
I think one of the things that he has done better than other years, in my opinion, watching from outside, right, this isn't something that Aaron has told me, it's something that I have witnessed, is he's protecting his time a little better. We actually, for a superstar like Aaron Judge, he tended to be pretty available. Like when you went to the clubhouse, he was at his locker very frequently. That doesn't happen as often. And I do think, and I actually talked to his hitting coaches, right, and we were speaking a little bit about it, and I said, what is it that gives you? He doesn't hit as much outside, which is something that, to be fair, tends to happen in the second half of the season anyway for every baseball team, right? We actually see even with the Blue Jays that the guys maybe will not go outside to hit. There was a joke that Joe Madden used to have that if you need to batting practice in August and September, maybe you don't need to be in the major leagues. So obviously they do start diminishing the outdoor hitting, but I see him protecting his energy and his time. There's not that much availability. I'm really hitting indication, working with Giancarlo and working with my hitting coaches, right? Like that's what I'm doing. Dylan Lawson and of course the great Bam Bam Mullins, you know, helping me out. And I'm not trying to spend as little energy as I can addressing the media. Now he picks his moments. And then yesterday, for example, he held court. And he stood in front of his locker and spoke individually to every single person that was there who wanted to speak to him within the time allotted of the hour the Yankees clubhouse was open. And post-game, he did the podium. But that's the only availability that we saw him all week, right? So it is about controlling your energy and your time, and I think that's wise.
So you're saying that any Blue Jays fan hoping to get a glimpse of BP before the games this week probably out of luck?
To be fair, and I will tell him what just happened in New York, right? Yeah. During the Yankees two-game series against the Pirates, Aaron Judge did not go outside to hit. And during the Yankees four-game series against the Red Sox, which included two games where there was no BP outside because of weather, he did not go outside to hit. That's all I'll say. Now, this is a dome, and one of the things that's important for Aaron Judge to do is test, because we know there's rain today and tomorrow, so it's going to be closed. So I actually can bet that either today or tomorrow there'll be some BP outside because he'd like to test how the ball is traveling with the dome closed.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, Marley, here's hoping that my kids get to watch history, but also a Blue Jays victory for them because, yeah, I can't take the tears. I don't want to see kids crying after a game.
And it'll be interesting to see, and you're going to have to tell me after it happens, and hopefully we do get to witness it, what their perspective was. Whether all of a sudden you created a little monster Aaron Judge's fans. I'm just saying.
It's very possible. It could be Aaron Judge's fault that they become Yankee fans. Tonight might be the start of that. Marley, it is great to see you in person. Thanks for this.
I'm so glad that we were able to steal some time to do this. Thank you so much for having me, always.
There is ESPN's Marley Rivera. Nah, there's no scenario in which a child of mine becomes a Yankee fan. But yeah, they'll be in attendance tonight, potentially to watch history. Aaron Judge sitting on 60 home runs, Blue Jays and Yankees. Well, just about 40 minutes away from first pitch here down at Rogers Center. When we come back, we will talk to the host of Blair and Barker. He's the Blair part. Jeff Blair joins me up in the booth here at Rogers Center. I'm Ben Ennis. This is the Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Unrivaled insight, analysis, and opinions on all things Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Ben Ennis, down at Rogers Center, getting set for the Blue Jays and Yankees. Game 2 of 3 between these two division rivals. And Aaron Judge still sitting on 60 home runs. And potentially today is the day that he ties Roger Maris, maybe passes him as well. Very happy to be joined now by the legendary radio voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling, joining me in the booth here. John, thanks for doing this, firstly, and it's great to see you in our city. We weren't sure that you were going to make the trip because you weren't making all the trips for the Yankees this season.
Thank you. It sounds much better this way. This is the first year, my 34th with the Yanks, and I had 6 with the Braves. The first year I've taken off games. And the games are great. I love doing the games. That's the easiest thing I do. Everything else is a problem, and I hate traveling. I've been traveling with teams now for 52 years. That's why I took off the games. But with Judge on the precipice, I had to do these games. So here I am.
Yeah, and it's our benefit, and it's the listeners' benefit. Now, was this just because he has not yet passed Maris, say he had hit a couple of home runs on Sunday Night Baseball in that game that was delayed and then eventually right. shortened due to rain. If he had hit 61 and 62, is this still a trip you would have made because you want to eventually have the call of the eventual Yankee American League record, whatever is beyond 62?
I think I'd have to come because the guy who was going to fill in for me understood that I had to do it, so that was arranged. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have a really good boss over at FAN named Chris Olivero, and he thought the same thing. He said, you got to do those games. So, anyway, I'm here now for the long haul. We play Texas for the final 4 games in Texas. Mm. It was going to be the opening of the year, and I'm going to do those games. So, you know, I've missed, you know, let's say maybe 30 games. You know, people say, oh, you're going to be on the road again? No, I've been on the road. So if you do 130 games, that's a lot.
What's it been like to call this season from Aaron Judge, a historic one? And, I mean, the length and breadth of your career, you've called some pretty incredible regular season, postseason moments in the history of the most storied franchise in North American pro sports. Where would this rank among them?
Oh, I think it ranks very highly. You know, just talking with Susan inside, the Yankees are not a great team. And they've been in first place for the whole year, and I really don't get it. I guess their pitching has been pretty good, but I think it tells you how valuable Judge is. I mean, if he doesn't get the MVP, then there ought to be an investigation. I mean, he leads in every category. But more than that, he's carried this team. And when you have a guy who leads in RBIs, and you have a guy who leads in runs scored, I mean, what else is there? They pay off in runs. So that's been very exciting to see Judge and call this season. It's been a roller coaster, up and down. so many problems. Aaron Boone has had to manage his little fanny off every day. He has to change the lineup and change the pitching and find someone to finish the game. And anyway, it's amazing. They've been in first place for the whole year.
Yeah, they have. They got off to that incredible start. And August was a little bit more than a speed wobble. That was August was a tough month for this baseball team. But, I mean, you called them even now not a great team, which, yeah. I mean, compared to what they were early on when they appeared to be on pace for 120 wins.
Well, I don't like – I've been very outspoken about it. I cannot stand – the baseball logic of hitting your best hitter first and not bunting. And, I'm not in touch with that crowd. And I think next year is going to be great because I'm a great optimist. I mean, in my whole life. And I think next year is going to be great when it goes back to baseball. No shifts. Pitch clock. Oh, do I want a pitch clock?
Oh, yeah.
And, the larger bases. And I think next year, the Yankees have, look at your lineup. Six of their hitters tonight are hitting under 250. Now, how can you be in first place for the whole year with everyone hitting under 250? And even though the pitching is good, you wouldn't say it's knockout. And, across town they have DeGrom and Scherzer.
Yes.
And but they really manage as a team, I guess, to get enough wins. And they, they've been hit by injuries. Well, I would say that. But every team gets hit by injuries now. And the players are all standing down. Not all of them, but most of them. Where in the old days they were playing year-to-year contract and they played all the time. So it's been a very unusual year, but I've enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, it's been enjoyable to watch as an outsider as well and watch the Aaron Judge chase for 61 and then eventually 62 and see whether this Yankees team can silence some of the critics that talk about the decade plus that it's been since they won a World Series and you're wearing your 2009 World Series ring right on your finger. I mean, for most franchises, that's not a drought. But for this one, it is. The Blue Jays, they won a couple in the early 90s, and even that doesn't quite feel like a drought. But, yeah 10-plus years is a drought for the most storied franchise in North American pro sports.
And they're reminded of it all the time. But I'm really not that way. I think I've been very fortunate. In 94, they could have made the playoffs, but they had that stupid strike, which didn't settle anything. 95, they had that great playoff series against Seattle and got knocked out. And almost every year since, I mean, there have been a couple. They're in the battle. They're in the playoffs. So I have no kick coming. I've had so many terrific teams over all these years. And this is, I think, a very unusual team because they're not as good as other teams, but they've been in other Yankee teams. But they've been in first place for the whole year, as we've mentioned. And they need a win to clinch it. And then they can set up their players, maybe get injured players back, set up their pitching. And, I've been knocked for saying it's like a line I use, you can't predict baseball. Well, you can't predict baseball. I have no idea what's going to happen in the playoffs. I have no idea if Judge is going to get 61 or 62. And I have to find out like everyone else.
Yeah, and it could be tonight. He has a pretty good record against Jose Barrios throughout his career as a couple of home runs, as Dan Shulman just mentioned, one in the postseason against him. He's handled the attention very well.
Oh, he's a good guy. He's, feet on the ground, head on his shoulders, great parents. I love his parents. And he's really a good guy, and I don't think it's a lot of baloney when he says, I only care about winning, I only care about the rest of the team, whatever I do to help the team win. I mean, all those things, with him, it actually is genuine. A lot of times it's not genuine when in all these sports, football, basketball, baseball, hockey and all. But I think with him it is.
Do you think at all that, there's an element of just wanting this over with? I mean, you've called some incredible milestones. I mean, thinking of Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit, which was a pretty spectacular moment at the stadium, I would say, a home run. And you know, he was open, I think, about talking about how much he wanted that to happen and wanted it to happen in a certain way. Do you think any of the moment is weighing on Aaron Judge at all?
Well, you'd have to crawl inside of him. Mm-hmm. To really know that. I think he's handled it very, very well, and he's going to go up and, you know, look for a pitch to hit, and if he gets a chance, he's going to hit it out because he has such great power, and he hits home runs to left and also to right, which is a big thing in Yankee Stadium because the ball travels great to right. Travels pretty good to left, too. Mm-hmm. Ball travels great here in all parts of the ballpark. So, no, I think he's handled it well. And if the pressure is on him, how would you tell? Mm-hmm. So if he starts chasing pitches, maybe that's what you tell. He's been very good about that. He's walked an awful lot, too.
Yes.
Look, he leads in on-base percentage. He actually leads by 1 point in batting average right now. Arise and Bogarts are at 313. He's at 314. But he's had a very unusual year, and I think that's a huge reason why the Yankees are where they are.
Well, he's an unusual player, too. He's 6'7", and he's...
Boy, and a good outfielder. Really good.
Well, we saw the catch yesterday.
Yeah, can play center field and right field, and he has as good an arm as you can have. So you put it all together, he's a pretty good player. And I would say this, not knowing anything, at the end of the year, November, December, he's going to be a very rich man.
I think that was pretty safe to say. I thought you were going to say he's going to be in pinstripes again, which we'll see.
Oh, we'll see. I don't blame him. This is his chance to be a free agent. It's his life. I'm very easy now. You know, if you get into the playoffs and you go a round or two, I think you've had a great year. I don't buy the, if you don't win at all, you. So I don't buy that. And, you know, when Kevin Durant left one team, Oklahoma City, to go to Golden State, and he was greeted with such derision in Oklahoma. That's his life. It's not your life. It's his life. He should make his decisions. So I think Judge should make his own decisions, which he will.
He absolutely will. And one thing is for certain, though, he's going to be a very wealthy man. Not that he's not already, but beyond his wildest dreams. I mentioned Derek Jeter and the 3,000th hit, the home run at Yankee Stadium. And I'm sure Aaron Judge would have loved to break the record at the stadium. And that's unlikely to happen. But,
well, he has three games left. We go home for three.
Yeah.
And then we go to Texas for four.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. We'll see. I guess it would mean that the Blue Jays shut him out if that's the case.
And you know what? We will see. How does anyone know? You don't know what happens. You can't predict baseball. The craziest plays happen.
Yes.
A ball goes foul by an inch.
Yes.
A pop fly falls in to knock in three. I mean, how do you know those things?
No, you don't.
You don't.
But there is a natural point of comparison between Jeter and Judge. And I think we've even heard tale of Judge kind of learning from the way Jeter handled the media and the access he gave and the cliched answers that he can give on occasion. And I think pretty clearly Derek Jeter is the gold standard when it comes to fan favorite Yankees. Where is Judge in that pecking order?
He's right there now. He's hit 60 home runs. You know, to me, because I'm older, to me, the 60th home run, I called it and he hit it from here to there, so you could call a home run right away. It wasn't any guess. And I felt so fortunate because I grew up as a kid. Babe Ruth, he might have been a god in the sky, and he hit the 60 home runs, and that's all you heard. That's all you thought. I can't imagine that I've seen a guy, I'm broadcasting, hit 60 home runs. So, hey, I hope he gets 61 and 62, but the way I am, if he doesn't, he's had a phenomenal year and more power to him. So, and by the way, if you want to talk about a lucky broadcaster, I literally broadcast every game that Derek Jeter played, and I broadcast every game that Mariano Rivera pitched, so I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, I would say, and again, I would say that the listener is very lucky
well
in that regard as well, John. Yeah, at what point I was going to say this season, did you think Aaron Judge was having a special season? But at what point, I mean, his rookie year, he came out of the gates and,
right.
and was just an absolute shooting star right away. And it, you know, has a 50 home run season. This guy was almost deigned to be this great right from the word go.
You know, the year that he hit the 52, the end of spring training, they weren't sure if they're going to send him back or keep him on the team or whatever. And luckily, they kept him on the team, and he hit 52 home runs. I think the biggest thing for him this year is he hasn't gotten injured. You know, a lot of Yankees get injured. They have a lot of hitters, DJ LeMahieu and Matt Carpenter and someone else I'm forgetting. They have really good hitters that can't play. Oh, Benintendi. Mm-hmm. So they have three, you know, good. But as I say, all teams go through that, and the Yankees have survived it. And if they win tonight or tomorrow, then they've clinched first place, which is all you can do in the regular season. Then you see.
Well, and going back to that August where it was a very dry month for this Yankees team and really, you know, the division lead, which they had held all season long and still held it, but it seemed like it was in peril. Aaron Judge was the only guy going in
carrying
this lineup.
Him. Absolutely.
And it's changed a little bit, right? Now Gleyber Torres is back hitting near the top of the lineup. Where do you evaluate this team offensively now compared to, boy, in August it seemed like they were scoring one or no runs daily.
They had so many injuries then that they were putting lineups together that were, I couldn't believe they were Yankee lineups. As I say, they're not hitting for a high average. Rizzo's a very good example. He's hitting for a very low average, but his power has been great, and he's gotten so many big hits. The Yankees are hoping that Stanton will shake off the rust and start hitting, and they need that very much. But anyway, that's all the reasons why I believe the Judge has been so phenomenally valuable, even more than the statistics. He's carried this team.
You've been very gracious with your time, John.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. I do want to ask one more question, though, in regards to this Aaron Judge home run chase. This is factually correct. It's the American League all-time record is 61. The Yankee record is 61. The Major League record is 73. Do you think that is, in fact, the way fans should view the Major League record being 73, that Barry Bonds, considering the I was going to say cloud of controversy, but there's been some pretty concrete facts
right.
about what he was doing to accumulate that record. How should we view whatever Aaron Judge finishes with this season in comparison to the Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire's of the world?
Well, you have to decide on your own. To me, the record, I think that was okay and allowed because that was the steroid era. And whatever happened. There are a lot of people taking it. And I think now we know that. It wasn't just Bonds and McGwire and Sosa and Palmeiro and all. It was a lot of very average players who wanted to stay in the big leagues and used it. But I think this is the record, you know. Roger and Bay and now Judge. But, you know, I'm with the Yankees, so of course I would think that. And it really doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't change anything. I think most people this year have felt that this is the record, the American League record.
Yeah. I think there's more than a few fans who feel that way. John, thanks so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
I feel very underdressed because I work in radio and I don't dress up, but maybe I should because this looks great.
You know, people ask me, why do you dress this way? And I have a lot of answers, but basically these are my clothes. And in baseball, you play every single day, so when would I wear them?
Yes.
And I think, you know, quote unquote, without wanting to sound too grand, but if you have the job of the Yankee broadcaster, yada, yada, that, you know, you should look like the Yankee broadcaster. So that's the way I dress this way. It's a little affected, but I dress this way.
No, look good, feel good. John, thanks again for this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You were great. You're really very good on the air. You're great.
Yeah, so are you. You got a future.
Well, good.
There's the great John Sterling, radio voice of the Yankees getting set for game two of three between the Blue Jays and New York Yankees. Jameson Taillon against Jose Berríos, who has not been super effective against Aaron Judge, like many a pitcher haven't throughout the history of Judge's career, but certainly this season. Judge 6-for-18 against Berríos this season with a home run, and the numbers get even more impressive in favor of Aaron Judge when you take into account the postseason meetings between these two. When we come back, we'll do a couple of things. One, we'll talk to Caleb Joseph. Caught up with him on the field earlier as he's part of the Blue Jay Central broadcast crew of this series alongside Joe Siddle. We got into a couple of different things, including trying to gauge whether winning games like yesterday, close, tight ball games in which the smallest error, the smallest miscue can cost you a chance at winning. If winning games like yesterday, where your bullpen has to be so fine, if that is something that you can carry over into the postseason, gives us some reason to believe that this group, despite having a great regular season and building off last year's 91 wins, whether they can actually continue to do that into the postseason when the pressure's at its highest. Despite the fact that, you know, Jeff Blair did mention yesterday that there is some belief within the organization that once they get through this regular season, once they officially punch their ticket into the postseason, that there is some measure of pressure lifted from this team, that maybe we're going to see the real Vladimir Guerrero Jr. offensively. So we talked to Caleb Joseph about that. I also talked to him about a guy that we're actually going to talk to one-on-one, or at least I did on the field earlier, about Jordan Romano, who got into the game yesterday and, like he's done most of the season, was super effective. He threw the fastball a little bit yesterday, a lot compared to some of the outings that we've seen this season from Jordan Romano. And for a guy that throws 99, got into exactly why that is. Why do we see the slider so often for a guy with an overpowering fastball, a fastball that, yeah, even if you're looking for it, it's hard to identify. We also talked to, well, both guys about what you do with Aaron Judge and paying attention to what the Blue Jays did yesterday against the major league leader in home runs and a guy on the verge of history sitting on 60, that Blue Jays, in a close game like yesterday, we're not going to get beaten by Aaron Judge. And he had his base hit in the top of the first inning. And I know what John's saying about leading off your best player, and it's not necessarily the way people grew up watching baseball, but Aaron Judge led off four times yesterday, which, you know, sounds bad, I suppose, but in a tie game, there's every reason for the Blue Jays not to walk him. And they did once, unintentionally, once intentionally, but it was pretty clear that the game plan was not to give in to him. And by that I mean, like, almost intentionally throw him anything that wasn't exactly on the black. And that's easier said than done. I mean, that's the other thing about throwing strikes, that occasionally fans get angry when a reliever comes in and doesn't throw strikes that, you know, maybe there's, or Yusei Kikuchi and the struggles he's had this season, that maybe it's the player's fault for not understanding that it's hard to hit a baseball. It's also hard to throw a strike every once in a while. So we talked about that. We talked about Jordan Romano's pitch mix, and we talked about this team kind of hitting its stride at the perfect time. This is back-to-back seasons now. The Blue Jays have had a tremendous run in September. Of course, last year, it got them back into the mix, but ultimately finished one game shy of making the postseason. But the only reason they were in the mix is because of the incredible September they had, the incredible offensive month they had down the stretch. And it hasn't exactly been the same this year. It's not like the Blue Jays are scoring 8 and 9 and 10 runs a game. They've had their occasional offensive outbursts, but it's been the small things. It's been the bullpen. It's been the base running, as you'll hear from Caleb Joseph. It's been the things on the margins that have helped the Blue Jays to the top wild card record in the American League. So that's coming up. We'll hear from Jordan Romano and Caleb Joseph next as we get you set for Blue Jays baseball against their divisional rivals. Jose Barrios against Jameson Taillon. Caleb Joseph, Jordan Romano next as the Fan Drive Time continues. I'm Ben Ennis, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.